And we are back. Welcome, guys. My name is DK, and in this video, we break down the two-game NBA DFS slate on Wednesday. We got Heat, Celtics, as well as Pelicans and Thunder. If it's your first time watching, cover content for DFS, as well as for prop betting. The sponsor of today's video, that's going to be BetMGM. Guys, BetMGM is currently running an offer. That first bet offer paid back in up to $1,500 in bonus bets if you don't win. Sign up, $1 in, lose. Get that all back in bonus bets. I do say this in, or try to say this in all of my videos, is get on as many of these books and DFS sites as possible. You place your bets. You can search for which one offers the best value. Get on, sign up there for BetMGM. If you do, click the link and deposit. It does help support the channel. And as always, if you're looking for more content, you can check my Patreon link in the description. Okay, so let's recap last night, and then we can get into the breakdown. So last night was a very solid night, and it could have been a huge night if it wasn't for a couple outlier bad performances. So if anyone watched the Patreon stream, I was very high. I had two strong takes in tournaments. I love Jared Allen and I love Tyrese Maxey. I thought they were going overlooked. Allen went for 56 fantasy points at 10% ownership, and Tyrese Maxey, I think, finished with like 65. It was 60 plus. Absolute smash. Now Maxey couldn't, I told people today, I was actually trying to fit Maxey into my lineup, but I just couldn't make it work. So I ended up playing both front court guys there from Cleveland. But Jonathan Isaac was a free square. He was 90% owned high stakes, way higher owned in high stakes, just outlier bad game there. Jamal Murray, I was not fading him. He was 85% in high stakes. And the rest of my lineup, Gary Harris, MPJ, Mobley, and Anthony Davis, who did absolutely nothing there in the fourth quarter. Okay. So yeah, it's been a really good run here in the playoffs for DFS, and hopefully we can keep it going for this two-game slate. So, pretty disgusting two-game slate, not gonna lie. Definitely some blowout risk in this first game. Let's see, where are we at with the spread? Yeah, 15-point spread in Heat-Celtics and 7.5 in that Pelicans game. 14.5 in Heat. 7.5 Pelicans Thunder. Close out of there. Too many tabs open, probably. Okay, so start off with Miami. So we can kind of take a look at the rotations for both these teams in the most recent game. Bring that up. Okay. Game one was a blowout, but Miami made it, kind of came back at the very end, so the starters should stay in. Miami ran a 9-man rotation. Starters were Hakez, Jovic, Hero, Martin, Bam. Off the bench, you saw a little bit of Kevin Love. 25 minutes of DeLon Wright, 15 minutes of Duncan, and 25 minutes of Haywood Highsmith. Jimmy Butler and Rozier already confirmed out. I feel a sneeze coming along. I feel like that only happens when I'm making a video, too. Like, I haven't been sneezing at all day. And then right when I go to make a video, I have to sneeze. But yeah, that was the rotation for Miami. So expecting a similar rotation again with, once again, Jimmy and Rozier confirmed out. I think the two main guys for Miami are good tournament plays, that being Bam and Hero. Obviously, some blowout risk, but these are the two kind of leading the way offensively. 36 minutes last game for Bam. Either Hero played 34 minutes. Would expect mid to high 30s minutes for both those two. So I don't think they stand out as optimal plays, but they are in play for tournaments. If Miami does be competitive, you know why, right? Rest of Miami, Jaime Jaquez at 5.8 has played 35 and 36 minutes over the last two games. Should continue to play those minutes. I think he's a decent option in the mid-range, but not a must-play. Caleb Martin's been a little bit quiet. He's 4.8K. Minutes not as secure as Jaquez, but he probably plays high 20s minutes. I think he's a fine contrarian play. I do think Jaquez is a little bit safer, but Jaquez also is $1,000 more. They got Nikola Jovic 4-2, so 27 and 26 minutes over the last couple games. Jovic is not a bad point-per-minute guy. I think he's a solid value here. Not a great real-life player at this point in his career, but he can definitely get better as a defender. That's what I mean. But, still decent point per minute, and he's 4.2K. If you give him mid-20s minutes again, then Jovic is going to stand out as a decent value play. Haywood Highsmith, 4K, solid defender. Not a great point per minute guy, but is a guy that kind of fits this team well. He can close, so playable. Kevin Love. Definitely not great real-life player at this point in his career. He is dust in the defensive end, but he is good point per minute, 12 and 13 minutes over the last couple games. The only downside is he's center eligible. And you got DeLon Wright at 3.8, 26 minutes last time out. Don't know if we can get 26 minutes again from DeLon Wright, but he's really, really cheap, and I think a decent value play. And then Duncan Robinson, the minutes have not really been there, 12 and 15 minutes, but maybe this is the game where they unleash him and play him like mid-20s. It's definitely possible. So ownership's going to play a big role in what I do with Miami values. This group of like Martin and Jovic and Highsmith and Kevin Love and DeLon Wright and Duncan Robinson. I think this Miami rotation is like, you got Bam here and Hakez should all play big minutes. But outside of that, I think they can kind of ride the hot hand with this group. So for example, like one of these guys is getting a lot of ownership. One or two are getting a lot of ownership and the others are going low owned. Then I'm going to be intrigued by those low owned options. So that's kind of my thoughts there with Miami. Obviously, again, do we have to factor in a little bit of blowout risk as well. Now for Boston, they're very, very easy to talk about. We know their rotation. Going to be an eight-man rotation. Starters plus Horford, Pritchard, and Hauser. Starters all play 30-plus minutes, 25 minutes for Horford, 24 for Pritchard, and 13 for Sam Hauser. So we'll start at the top. Tatum at 9-5, the guy with the highest floor plus ceiling on this team. He had a triple-double last game. Obviously, not necessarily the best match pair against Miami, but still guy with a pretty high floor. Jaylen Brown, Porzingis look pretty similar to me. I think I would slightly prefer Porzingis if I had to pick between the two. 34 minutes for Porzingis. Jaylen Brown played 34 minutes as well. Two guards in Derek White and Drew Holiday. I think I slightly prefer Derek White, but again, not by a wide margin. So the whole team for the whole starting five, I'll say, for Boston is firmly in play. Al Horford is 5K off the bench. Don't love him, but he'll probably play low to mid-20s minutes, play 26 minutes last game. I do like Peyton Pritchard. I think he's just like earned himself a role in a pretty big part of this rotation. 24 minutes last game, not a bad point per minute guy. I think he's a decent value play. Last guy to mention is Hauser. I think it's kind of hard to get to him at 4-2. I would just prefer getting to some other value plays, but yeah, that's Boston. So let's talk about New Orleans. Bring up their rotation. So the Pelicans technically played nine guys, but Dyson Daniels only played 2 minutes. So starters plus Larry Nance, Najee Marshall, and Jose Alvarado. Oh, that's another sneeze. But all right. Yeah, Zion's still out. About that same starting lineup. You got 7-5 for CJ, 7-4 for Brandon Ingram. I think CJ and Ingram look pretty similar. 39 minutes for CJ. You saw 37 minutes for Ingram. He's going to be the two way offensively here. So ownership will play a role in what I do with those guys. Like, for example, if Ingram's really popular and CJ's not getting much ownership, I would lean towards a lower owned option. So, I think those two are both pretty similar plays. I do really like Trey Murphy. I mean, he's playing massive minutes right now, 43 and 44 minutes. Expect a similar run. Good scorer, decent rebounder. So, yeah, sign me up for a 6.7K Trey Murphy that you should get 40-plus minutes. Now, the big question here is, what are the Pelicans going to do with the center rotation? Because JV, he put up a lot of stats, but it was kind of useless stats, right? He was even though he put up a big game, 20 rebounds, 13 points, he was still a net negative for the team. If you take a look at the numbers against Oklahoma City in the regular season, he had by far the worst defensive rating. And there were they played Oklahoma City three times in the regular season. JV got benched in two. One of them only played 10 minutes. So I have a feeling, after these back-to-back games, JV is going to be massive, massive chalk. But I do think it's like his minutes be wide range of outcomes. If he plays well and the Pels are playing well with him on the court, yeah, he can play high 20s minutes again. But if he's getting cooked out there defensively and the Pelicans fall behind, you could very easily see that, Larry Nance starts the second half ahead of Jonas Valanciunas, which we've seen so many times in the regular season. So, do you have the guts to fade chalk JV? I feel like he's going to be pretty chalk, but again, I'll be interested to see what the ownership lands on him. Herb Jones is 5.1. Should play mid-30s minutes or so. Solid defender. No real strong takes there on him. You got Alvarado at 4K. Probably sees around 20 minutes. A reasonable value play. I think more of a GPP play. And then Larry Nance is 4.7. So he's not going to get much ownership at all. He's not as good of a point per minute guy as JV. However, if we're talking real life basketball, the Pelicans are much better with Larry Nance on the court than JV. The question is, when does Willie Green kind of figure that out, right? So if you do think that they could pull the plug on JV, which I think it's in the range of outcome, it is definitely possible, you could take a shot on an unowned Larry Nance. What I feel like is everyone's just going to slam JV. And again, I think it's like center rotation could go a lot of different ways, right? I said to factor that in for DFS. And then Najee Marshall's 3.8, 24 and 16 minutes. I think he plays high teens minutes. Not a bad point per minute guy. Actually do kind of like him for value. So yeah, 3.8K Najee Marshall is firmly in play. Oklahoma City, so still played 11 guys, man. However, they did extend some of the starters. Jalen Williams, 40 minutes. SGA played around 40 minutes. 35 minutes for Dort. Chet played 32. But, that stretch of games when SGA was out, and I kept playing Chet, you better believe Dagnall was just playing Chet like 24 minutes for absolutely no reason to punish me, right? So tilting. But they still played 11 guys. They just played like everyone a little bit. 9 minutes for Hayward. 8 minutes for Kendrick Williams. 15 minutes for Joe. 15 for Aaron Wiggins. 6 minutes for the big Jalen Williams. 18 minutes for Cason Wallace. Pretty disgusting playoff rotation, to be honest. But SGA 9-4, I think looks good at the top. Played close to 40 minutes. We know the floor plus ceiling that SGA has. I do think the most optimal of the spend-ups here for Oklahoma City is going to be Jalen Williams. He played 40 minutes. So a 6.8K Jalen Williams looks pretty good. And then 6.9K Chet, I think, is a solid option as well. The production on Chet's been a little bit up and down, but he has shown the ceiling. I'm out for 44 fantasy points last game. So, yeah, the top three guys all firmly in play there for Oklahoma City, but I think Jalen Williams is your most optimal. Giddey at 5.9, more of your contrarian option. Only played 20 minutes. Now, Giddey's minutes can fluctuate. If he plays well, they can extend him. There's been games where Giddey's played mid to high 20s minutes, so he's not completely out of play, but definitely more of a contrarian option. Lu Dort at 4.5, pretty safe value, played 35 minutes. Not a great point per minute player, but firmly in rotation and is cheap. So he's a pretty safe play for that reason. Then you just have this group of bench guys, and you put them all in a group. Wiggins and Joe and Cason Wallace and the big Jalen Williams and Gordon Hayward and Kendrick Williams. I don't have confidence at all in what Daniel's going to do. I think he's going to ride the hot hand. I think the ceiling probably is the highest on Joe if he's really making his shots, but also has a pretty low floor because he's scoring dependent. So this will be another situation kind of like I talked about Miami. Like, if one of these Thunder value plays is getting a lot of ownership, I'm probably just going to fade that guy because I don't have much trust at all in this bench rotation. So again, ownership is going to play a very big role in what I do if I'm going to play any of these. All right, guys, so that's the wrap of the video. I know it was a shorter one, only 2-game slate, but 100K to first, still good-sized contest. If you do enjoy this video, just make sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and we'll see you all in the next video.